Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dudes, dogs, and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
No, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. A little off on the drumming there, Connor. You know, when you don't have a show for a couple of days, I was a little off on the drum there. Even as I was doing it midway through, I'm like, I think I did the drum a little early there. You know, I got, Loogie, there you go. Take two. It always works. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. There are multiple times in a baseball season where you step back and you say, did we just experience this team's worst loss of the year? You take a step back and you say, did we just experience this team's worst series of the year? And I think in this instance, as we are wrapping up June, this four-game sweep at the hands of the Red Sox to the Yankees, and in the way that it ended, this is the worst series of the year for the Yankees and the worst loss of the year for the Yankees. And baseball is that funny game where, because it's played every day, momentum and the way you're feeling about your team and about your situation can change for a positive or a negative quite quickly. If we're sitting here and the clock strikes midnight and it's Monday, June 29th, and the Yankees had pulled that game out on Sunday night, if they had won a game that they were being no-hit into the eighth inning, and by all people, Sonny Gray, and I understand Yankee fans, they see Sonny Gray and they don't like him and from a baseball perspective, and then they just are mad about Brian Cashman for not believing in him. But for all people, Sonny Gray, to be the guy that's no-hitting the Yankees, and the team is three outs away after the no-hitters broke up and they get out of the eighth, the Red Sox did. The Yankees are three outs away from a brutal weekend. Brutal. Brutal series, brutal weekend. And look, you never want to lose this type of series to anybody, but it makes it worse when it's up in Boston. And the Red Sox, I think, had won 13 home games all year. All year. They're not good. They fired their manager. Oh, by the way, more on that manager coming up in a little bit. The Red Sox stink. And yet, there the Yankees were on the doorstep of getting swept. But something happened. And I think it had a little bit to do with, obviously, Chapman being tired. It was the third time he was used in this series. He had thrown, I think, 20-plus pitches the night before. Hot night. You could see he was sweating profusely. And he looked, you know, a little bit off. You know, couldn't find the strike zone early on. And then the Yankees get a break. Abreu in the outfield. Terrible throw back into the... And he's a Gold Glover, great fielder, and he had another bad one in the extra innings and almost cost the Red Sox the game. But Abreu just completely misses where he needs to throw the ball, which is second base, because the runner going to third, Caballero, means absolutely nothing. It's a two-run lead. It opened the door for the Yankees, because now you have Volpe on third, and you have Paul Goldschmidt coming to the plate, and I don't care if it's Sandy Koufax, I don't care what lefty you want to, Randy Johnson, doesn't matter what lefty you want to throw at me, Paul Goldschmidt's getting a hit off them. I mean, he's as good as it gets against lefties. He's Babe Ruth, he's Barry Bonds, he's Aaron Judge, he's Otani, he's anybody you want to mention against lefties. He's that good. And Goldschmidt didn't hit the ball over the fence, but he was able to make contact. He put the ball in a position where the runner from third not only scored, but obviously Goldschmidt was safe as well. And that led to the Yankees getting another opportunity to win the game in the top of the 10th. And as I was sitting there watching this game, I thought to myself, and this is as the Yankees are getting no hit, I could just tell the conversation that was surrounding the game. Because when it comes to baseball, especially baseball, you know, football, it's once a week. It can be super unpredictable. Basketball, yeah, it's every day, but not really. And there aren't series. You might play it back-to-back against the same team, but there's no series in the regular season of basketball. But baseball, when there's obviously series, sometimes you could just have that narrative that's starting to surround the game and a series. And I tend to go the other way when I start hearing things. Meaning, everything was trending towards the Yankees are going to get no hit. And by all people, Sonny Gray, a familiar face, somebody that Yankee fans can't stand the sight of. You're going to get swept here in Boston to the hated Red Sox. The Yankees are going to go quietly into the night. They can't hit. And I just felt all along, and you could see Gray was tiring and slowing down. I didn't think he'd pitch the no-hitter. And I felt like the Yankees get a hit. Or even a base runner. Because one base runner, Gray, was coming out of the game. I was like, if the Yankees could just get somebody on base, they're going to win this game. That's what I was thinking to myself. Because everything is trending towards the Yankees are going to lose, they're going to get no hit. And baseball just doesn't always go that way. Especially when you consider the Yankees are a superior, I know they didn't show it this weekend, but they are a superior team to the Red Sox. They're all in likelihood not going to lose four games in a row here. They're not going to get swept in this series. So even though it looked like all hope was lost and they were going to go quietly into the night and they weren't going to get a hit, I felt all along that as long as the Yankees got a base runner and they got Gray out of the game, because it was still 2-0. It wasn't like it was 8-0. If it was 8-0 and Gray was pitching a no-hitter, yeah, you could start to call it a wrap. But not at 2-0. And not with a tired bullpen because Chapman had pitched so much in the series. So I felt like if the Yankees could get a base runner, they would win the game. And that's exactly what should have happened. How the Yankees ended up losing the game is almost mind-boggling. I mean, it was a roller coaster ride of emotions. But had they won the game, you'd be sitting here after midnight Monday morning going, oh, you know what? The first few acts of the movie sucked, but the ending was awesome. The ending was awesome. We're getting no hit. We come back. We battle back against Chapman, another guy with no love lost Yankee fans towards. We win the game in extras. And now we, with the quick turnaround, can take care of a bad Tigers team. And yeah, we lost the first three, but we managed to not get swept. And we can go to work. And it was a great victory. Except that didn't happen. And it's worse. It makes it worse. And I think not only for fans, but for the team to battle your way back and then to lose. You want to call it a gut punch? I'll call it the worst loss of the season. I'll call it the worst series loss of the season.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, all of this is small picture. Big picture, Yankees are the best team in the American League. I don't care what the standings say. I don't care that the Rays have woken up a little bit here. I don't care that the Yankees are falling backwards. I don't care if this is the June swoon just at the back end of June. The Yankees have the best team in the American League. And from where I'm sitting, they're going to the World Series. Now, that's not to take anything away from the loss or the weekend, but that's big picture. Now, little picture here, small picture. Awful weekend. The offense stunk. You weren't facing lights out starting pitching from the Red Sox. So for the Yankees, not and Ben Rice is going through it right now and certainly can't do it at Fenway Park, that's for sure. I don't know what the deal is there, but his struggles in Boston are certainly something worth noting. But when you climb the ladder back and you battle back and you take the lead, and in extra innings, and the Yankees have been bad in extra innings. Are they 1-4 now? For some reason, they can't figure out the extra innings puzzle. But when you take a 2-run lead going into the bottom, let's just call it 10th of extra innings or 11th, whatever extra innings you're in. But if you can have a 2-run lead, that's usually good. You know, obviously you want to score a run in the top. If you don't, you're basically screwed. You score one run, you're on pins and needles. You score two runs or more, but in this case, two runs, you feel pretty good about yourselves. You feel pretty good about yourselves. Now, you didn't have Bednar, and look, you could argue why use Bednar in a non-save situation. I think that's a fair. It's hindsight. It's a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking, but I did think of that. Now, Cruz has been good, but Bednar's been lights out since the Subway Series. Lights out. But to battle back and then to lose the way the Yankees did, it makes it worse. It makes it worse. And look, Aaron Boone said all the right things after the game, which Aaron Boone has a habit of doing. We'll read you some of the quotes. We'll play a little bit of the audio later because he had one money quote that's going to get a lot of play over the next day or so. It might even get some play for the next weeks or so. Aaron Boone is good for... because he normally, and I say this with love, he normally, not that we know each other, a little bit, but not really. Boone often feels like he's reading off a teleprompter, but every once in a while, he'll give you a good one. A little line that you can put up on the, not bulletin board for another team, but just hang in the Yankee clubhouse or post on Twitter to get 3 million views on it. And I think last night, Aaron gave you one of those. And he's good for those 4 or 5 a year. Now, we'll get to Jazz Chisholm, who I have defended, but tonight I can't defend him. That's coming up in a little bit. We'll get to Austin Wells coming up in a little bit, a guy that you can't defend. And I've been very critical of him all year, and it's just at what point does it become, you know, where the Yankees, their top priority is getting a catcher at the deadline. But it's one of those scenarios where you almost rather get no hit. You almost rather go quietly into the night. You almost rather lose that game in regulation, so to speak, instead of, because I thought it was a wrap. When it went to the 10th inning, I thought it was over. And the reason I thought that is because all along I felt like if the Yankees got a, like I detailed a few minutes ago, I felt like if the Yankees broke through on Gray, meaning if they got another base runner and he had to come out of the game and the Red Sox had to go to their bullpen and in particular, Chapman, I thought the Yankees would get to him. It's only a 2-run lead. You don't want to get swept. They're the more desperate, even though the Red Sox, as far as their record, they should want to win every single game the rest of the year. But the Yankees are desperately trying to scrape together a win here so they don't get swept in 4 straight games against the Red Sox, or anybody, for that matter. And they're the better team. The better team shouldn't lose 4 in a row to a far inferior team. So the odds of baseball were in the Yankees' favor. That's why when they tied the game up and then took the lead in the 10th, I thought it was a wrap. I thought it was over. And yet somehow, some way, that wasn't the case. So it was that extra kick to the Goyun, so to speak, for the fans and really for the players. And that's why tomorrow night is one of those, hey, look, you dust yourselves off, you try to mentally get back to where you need to be. It helps that you're facing the Tigers. And I don't care who the Tigers throw at you. And I understand they have some good pitchers. I got to double check the who's on the mound. But obviously you have Valdez, you have Skubal. So the Tigers can throw arms at you that are a little bit scary. And the Yankees are not hitting right now. But the offense for the Tigers is downright just abysmal. And that's why their record is what it is. It's Casey Mize, who has a great ERA, but he's 2-5. And that probably has to do a lot with the fact that Detroit doesn't score any runs. But the way the Yankees are hitting right now, they need to wake up, and maybe some home cooking will do them some good. But I thought it was the worst loss of the year on Sunday night. I thought it was the worst series of the year. And it made matters worse that they battled back and then ultimately lost. And you give the Yankees credit for thriving, let alone surviving, without Aaron Judge. But this is the type of weekend where you miss Judge, where you're not scoring runs, where you get shut down by decent pitching. Nothing, you know, you're not facing Paul Skeens or Mizorowski or Skubal. You're not facing elite starting pitching. Yet, bad defense, Gerrit Cole not being sharp again, not hitting, and then when you, and this is what happens when you're struggling, no doubt. And we'll see if it snowballs, although Aaron Boone seems to think it won't. And I'll buy that, by the way. When you're losing, you're scuffling a little bit. Sometimes even when you battle back, you end up losing that game. Much to my surprise and shock. Even though that sometimes can be the laws of baseball when you're going through it a little bit. I just felt like with the Yankees, this, I think 99.9% I thought they were winning that game. That was in the eighth inning when they broke up the no-hitter. That was in the ninth inning, and that was in the tenth inning. Like, I just didn't waver on that. So I didn't think they were going to get swept in a four-game series against a worse team. And look, the best chance the Red Sox had tonight was to have a no-hitter, really. They only scored two runs. So they were hanging on for dear life for Sonny Gray pitching the gem that he was pitching. And I felt like when you got through that line of defense, the Yankees did, that they would be in good shape. But ultimately, that wasn't the case. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to Jazz Chisholm coming up in a little bit. Not only getting ejected from the game, but I guess apparently he didn't speak to the media afterwards. We'll talk about Austin Wells and his struggles. We'll talk about the struggles of everybody trying to find the Yankee game once it started. And the whole fiasco that took place with NBC. And you know, Larry David was calling everybody. You know, your Aunt Rose was calling everybody. Uncle Louie was calling everybody. Nobody knew where the game was. In all fairness, they'll call you all the time, but in all fairness to all of them, NBC's got to do a little better job there. I'm sure they were handcuffed a little bit with the Travelers Championship, but they got to do a better job. We'll expand upon that or expound upon that or expand upon that coming up in just a little bit. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night. We got you for five here, so four and a half more to go. A big Lugowski going all the way till 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.